The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I don't know. I was just rooting that you were going to somehow spell over wrong.
Okay. I'm not going to spell it for Spike.
So where do you want to eat?
Feels like an Arby's night.
Arby's, beef and cheese and... Do you believe in God?
It's not like a word like knife where you could mess it up. Like,
well, I know. That's why it would have been funny.
Over.
I mean, is there really a need for the K?
Yes.
Oh. So, you're pretty religious.
That's right.
What do you think about it?
Yes.
When God was making the alphabet or spelling words, why did he put a K there?
You think God
just
really
did?
Okay, all right, all right. I don't want to get into theology.
Yeah, Catholic boy over
yeah,
here.
Yeah, I don't want to dive into
the heavens.
But think
earth.
About it.
So is it a problem that I'm not really religious?
Not for me.
Why not?
I'm not the one going to hell.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Lattis. Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man looks like
he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. We're letting the inmates run the asylum today. No Jennifer, no Mark. I believe Jen traveling to Bristol. Some cool things that she has going on. Chewy, I think, is just, you know, it's summer hours, so he's going to be taking a day off here and there. So Josh DiMaggio, we're letting Josh DiMaggio go from the producer booth into the One Call That's All studios, and part-time Will running the ones and twos on the other side. How are we doing this morning, boys?
I'm doing great.
Why are you paging through your notebook like you've got some like notes like prepared for whatever
I've gotten
saying.
Into the habit of taking notes so I remember things because I get very excited and sometimes things will exit my brain. So I was preparing myself, giving myself a clean sheet of paper here to take some notes,
You're going to take notes during the show?
Yeah, just little quick reminders. Oh, go back to that point. That was something.
Oh, okay. So yes. This is something... But you shouldn't have to do so. You do this as a producer.
Yes.
Like, hey, things are happening crazy. You never know what's going to happen on our show. Typically because of the man who's usually in the chair you're in, you have no idea what Chewy's going to say. So you take some notes so you can go back, clip that up.
Correct.
Put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy socials. You know, get the clips out there to the people.
In case.
But you shouldn't have to do that today. You're a host. Isn't that Will's job?
Will's... busy. He's got other stuff to do.
What do you mean he's busy?
He's just afraid to give me the reins.
No, it's just
worried I'm gonna ruin his baby.
It's a good process for me to have things going on, and Will and I oftentimes will tag team things, do things together, so it gives me a frame of reference.
I don't think you need to speak for Will that he's busy and his things going on.
I can talk for myself.
Now Gabe, you will relate to this. I, much like yourself, aren't great at telling other people what to do or asking for help all the time.
Sure.
So,
well, because it's just easier to do it by yourself.
Yes, correct.
I mean, once I know how to do it, like it's easier for me to just go and do it.
So I will send Will things to be like, hey, can you make this nice? And that will be that's our process we got here.
See, the only other co-host I've ever done a show with, at least I believe, maybe somebody else was doing it in secret, that's ever taken notes during a show
Homer.
Is Homer.
Yeah.
But the problem with Homer's notes is, I mean, he gets this big notebook, he writes, even he doesn't know what he's writing down.
Yes.
Like, he writes it down and he knows what he's doing in the moment, but if you were to take the notebook, when he sits down for the old Homer hour later, he's off today, but next time that he's in, if Homer sits down for the Homer hour and you ask him to open up that notebook, he's not going to be able to tell you.
Yeah.
What he wrote.
There is a badge of pride, though, when either when he's filling in on this show or I've helped him out on the Homer Hour, when I say something and he takes a note, I don't know what that means or why he does it, but it's an accomplishment.
Well, because Homer found it interesting.
Yes.
He found it interesting enough to write it down. Not interesting enough to remember it, but interesting enough to write it down and maybe hopefully...
It's a little badge of pride that I carry with me when I get Homer to take the notes.
All right, so just a quick question, 800-990-3776. I don't think we can necessarily pull this on the Infinity Exteriors Twitter poll, but we can get you... to text in the Carbo's Talking text line. I'm curious the last time you took notes. 800-990-3776. And some people do take notes during meetings.
Yeah.
And I know I have been in, like, again, being in content, it's a different world than just about everything else here at Good Karma Brands.
Correct.
And ESPN Milwaukee. Because they will, like, some salespeople will take notes. Some people are, you know, encouraged to take notes because they don't. But I'm curious the last time that you took notes, 800-990-3776.
Yeah, there's certain, I mean, I take, like, when I do the weekly wager at Podalotomy with Jen, Ben, yeah, or Greg Matzik, I take notes for the show often to give myself reminders. Like,
sure,
I know we're going to be talking about the NBA Finals. Here are some interesting things. Oftentimes in meetings, depending on the meeting, I'll realize I'm taking notes for really just me in the moment. It feels like I should be doing it, but oftentimes I don't refer back to them. I do. Do you write yourself like a checklist daily or weekly or anything along those lines to, hey, I need to get to this, not today, but some point this week?
I don't, but I probably should.
You?
Should.
Yes.
If I'm being completely honest, because there will be things that I just like push off, like,
yes,
oh, I've got time to do that, when it would have been just easier to make a checklist, get everything done, and then not have to worry about it and scramble.
If I were to guess, like, I'm thinking back to Greg Scalzo when he used to host Scalzo and Brust.
Yeah.
He would take notes, but they were oftentimes on his hand. Oftentimes, they were text messages he sent to himself or emails that he just left up and constantly typed in. I imagine the digital version is probably something like, Will, are you writing down notes or were you just graduated school? Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Were you handwriting notes at any point ever, or was it usually like Word docs you typed out?
Never during class. But on a daily basis, I'll write out like things that I have to do today because it helps me. It makes me feel better when you check it off and you remember it a lot better.
Checking off something off the checklist?
Yeah. So John in MKE, he's saying notes are taken daily in almost every meeting. Good for John.
Yeah.
Good for John. Todd, last Thursday at a client meeting, is a closet of his son's old notebooks that he uses for notes. So he's still taking hand notes because there are a lot of people.
I like that he's reusing his son's notebooks that he wasn't, yeah, using presumably for school.
So like the notes app on my phone, right?
That's like a disaster for me.
Oh, really?
It's... there's so much in there, and I don't know what it's about.
I just have a bunch of passwords and like movies I need to watch in there. It's all jumbled.
Yes, it's a disaster for me.
About the only thing I have in there that's, well, so I shout out to our friends at Broken Bad. I'm, yeah, a member of the Mug Club. I have my number of my Mug Club, so I don't forget
you
what
remember
that is.
It, yeah.
So that's in there, and then I have been trying to be better at tracking the number of shows I do for the network for ESPN Radio.
Yes.
So when it comes contract time, yeah. When it comes contract time, it's like, hey, here's how many shows I've done the last year.
I bet if I dug through my notes app and all the things I have in there, I would be able to locate the code for the apartment I lived in New York City that the company was renting for it, the corporate housing.
Yeah.
And there was a PIN code to get in the door. I bet if I looked hard enough, I'd be able to find that in there.
You have that many things in your notes?
Oh, they go back to...
Literally, I have three things in here. I have the code to my locker at the Wisconsin Country Club. So the combo to my locker. It's an old school combo. So like that, I know what it is, but I put it in there, you know, just initially as some place to put it. I have the broken bat in my number... and then the number of shows. Literally, it's just three things. I have three things in my notes app. You have that many things in your notes app?
My last... well, so they update every time you update it, but I have a note in here that hasn't been touched since 7/12/19. But I have a running note that has like a bunch of passwords,
okay,
that is password secured. So you can't, whoa, get into it without...
what if you forget that password?
Well, Face ID.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just found a note reminding myself to watch Marley and Me, and then it has Luis Roberts hitting stats on the bottom.
Marley and Wait. Me?
No, Luis Roberts?
I don't know what I was doing.
Now.
I know. I was doing his splits before and after... couple years during his career.
Were you in an argument with the boys, and you had to say, I got to show them this
one? I must have been. That had to have been what it was.
You got Marley and Me, yeah, and Luis Roberts in the same note.
It's from a couple weeks ago.
Wait, from a couple weeks ago? I just assumed it'd be from a couple. You're like, you want to? You haven't watched Marley and Me yet? Oh boy, what do we got?
Per Ian Rappaport, the Packers are releasing star cornerback Jaire Alexander today. Sources say.
All right. Well, we are all the fun is over now. We are having some fun. We are having good times. Will, if you have any notes on Jair Alexander, feel free to delete them.
Yeah, I'll go through the database.
Yeah, just go through. Yeah, just go through the notes app and feel free to delete them.
It might be next to like a Chinese food order or something that I wrote down.
I mean, this is, to me, this was always kind of the expected outcome. Jair being released. Now, the fact that it's coming, I guess this makes sense. The fact that it's happening
100%
today, because they don't want to have to pay him the $700,000 workout bonus for him showing up and not doing anything during mandatory minicamp this week. Starts tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, maybe Thursday. Sometimes they just give Thursday off. Sometimes they go do that team building activity. But we talked about it at the time when Matt Schneidman of The Athletic had the report saying that, oh, the Packers have given him a contract offer. And there were so many people I saw online that decided they wanted to dunk on Packers reporters the way they reported on this offseason. Oh, he wants to be here. They've offered him a contract. Clearly he's coming back. It's like, if it was that great, he would have accepted it. And obviously, they could not come to terms on any sort of contracts. So I don't think this is going to be a situation, because it's only happened one other time that I can think of. And it wasn't contentious. It came out of nowhere. One time, the Packers released A.J. Hawk, only to, like, re-sign him the next day.
Yeah.
And there was some weird financial thing that they were able to manipulate by doing his contract that way, by releasing him and then bringing him back into the fold. That's not what this is.
No.
Nope. So this is Jair Alexander's two-time second-team All-Pro cornerback. His time has come to an end with the Green Bay Packers per now Jeremy Fowler reporting it as well. So it's now all over that the Packers are going to be releasing Jair Alexander today.
Yeah, as much as I'd like to dedicate time to dunking on all the people who thought we and the Packers reporters had some incentive to be anti-Jair, or as if we wanted him cut, despite I think all of us saying we'd love for Jair Alexander to be a Packer. I'm going to move past that. The fact it comes now is interesting. Obviously, there was that report also within the Schneidman report that he said he was planning to attend mandatory minicamp, and people read that as a positive. And I think Jason Wilde was one of the first people to say it, and I totally agreed. He wasn't doing that out of the goodness of his heart because he thought things were going to go well. He was trying to force their hand.
Yep.
And what the Packers did is they saw that deadline and met it and said, okay, we weren't able to get this done. We are going to prevent any of the nonsense of the questions that would have to be asked of Jair's here, why isn't he on the field, where are you at with the contract, and just moving on from him at their – I mean, this is the last – moment, basically.
Yeah. Well, it turns out this was the deadline. We had always been wondering, okay, what's that deadline? Oh, they're looking to trade him. Clearly the draft must be the deadline. Draft comes and goes. He's still on the team.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they're going to wait for June 1st, because after June 1st, you can split that up and you can manipulate the contract, save some money this year. And okay, June 1st comes and goes. Not the deal. And then today ends up being the day that Jair Alexander is released by the Green Bay Packers. So he is going to be playing elsewhere. Somebody's going to come. Somebody's going to scoop him up. I would not be shocked if by the end of the week he has a new contract to play elsewhere, just so he can get into the building early.
I wouldn't be surprised if he already has one.
If he's got something lined up.
Because the Packers have allowed him to go out and kind of search for trade opportunities, all that stuff. So I think everyone knows and has known in the NFL that, hey, if you want Jair, it's kind of open for business, and you just have to wait until the Packers make a decision one way or another. So I would expect him probably to be arriving at like a camp by the end of the week.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like potentially,
right?
Because just about everybody this week is doing their mandatory mini camp Tuesday through Thursday. So if he could just get into the building, so he could get his hands on a playbook, things of that nature. Yeah, you know, that's what I'm saying. Like Wednesday, Thursday, he could be somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah, and it's an end of an era. Jair has been probably one of the more entertaining Packers to watch in recent memory. He was a lightning rod. He performed, as you mentioned, with the All Pros, with some of the best in the league. At one point, he was the highest paid cornerback, I believe, in NFL history, and in the league. So, for it to come to an end is, you know, you We're now left looking at what do the Packers have left, and is it going to be enough to sustain a season with great competition within the division?
So we've got a lot of questions to be answered on the Carbless Talking text line. I might even read when the last time somebody took notes, too. I was having fun with that. But we will get to more on this. We're going to answer your questions and that question that Joshy just broke up. The breaking news today, Jaire Alexander going to be released by the Green Bay Packers. More on that coming up next. Jen, give it to you.
Your state, your teams, your ESPN. The ESPN Wisconsin app. Find the ESPN Wisconsin app in the Apple or Android app stores today. More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy coming up on 94.5 ESPN.
Off to start the first couple of weeks for Levis as he goes to the air. It's intercepted! Jaire Alexander, high stepping for six.
Call courtesy of Fox. Pick six this past season for Jaire Alexander. Back when things were simple, back when things were great between the Packers and Jaire Alexander, he was refreshed, he was renewed under the new defensive scheme, defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley. Looked like he was getting along with his coaches. And then Jacksonville happened.
That highlight just reminded me wistfully of the Will Levis era when he was throwing the most improbable interceptions like every single week, and they were always pick sixes. And Jaire was lucky enough to, he was like falling away on his, like, that was a time in the Packers where that was Malik Willis, right? That game?
Yeah.
So that was.
I was about to say, because whatever happened there with Will Levis, like, Jordan Love caught that bug for a little bit.
Yes. Like,
I think of the Lions pick six, like, what the hell are you doing?
What the hell's going on out there type place?
I don't know who you were throwing it to other than that guy.
Right. Uh-huh.
And clearly he was just going to waltz into the end zone after you did that. Luckily, Jordan cleaned that up. You know, I think that was some residuals from injury.
Yeah.
But Jay asks this question on the Carbless Talking text line, 800-990-3776. So when does Alexander sign with Minnesota?
Yeah, that I reacted to this. I've thought this was the inevitable thing that was going to happen once we heard about the trades falling through. I think the contract offer, and we'll probably find out what that looked like, that Matt Schneidman reported about, and it's probably going to be something along the lines of, we offered Jaire basically nothing and told him take it or leave it.
Yeah.
Because if they were truly working towards a reconciliation, they would have been able to find some common ground, because I think it benefits both Jaire and the Packers type of deal, but it's probably going to be the Aaron Jones deal where it was basically nothing, take veteran minimum. So I tweeted that it was inevitable, and I just hope he doesn't land in the division, because a motivated Jaire is a Jaire I don't want to see on the opponent's sideline or lining up across from Matthew Golden or Romeo Doubs or Jaden Reed by any means. So part of me thinks there's a real potential he's in the division, and I'm holding out hope that he does not land in the division.
Well, like, if I'm setting odds, like, the favorite's probably Minnesota. Because
yes.
They could use, they're a little like the Packers. Their corners are fine. Their safeties are pretty good. But also, everybody sings the praises of Brian Flores up there, so it wouldn't be shocking if he ended up in a place like that. So while Jay, it's a fun joke to make, I feel like there's also a sense of seriousness within that question of, hey, when does Alexander sign with Minnesota? But from the Packers' side, this is kind of goes along with the question you were just asking, Joshy. Dave from Aaron, Ryan from Iguanago, basically asking the same thing. Dave saying, Alexander, bummer, not a good way to start the week. Do you think the Packers will be on the search for another QB or roll with the guys they have? And Ryan says, is the cornerback room good enough without Jaire?
So that's two different questions. I think the first one, and I've long held this belief, we talked about it around the draft. The Packers let us know that they weren't concerned about their cornerback room, and at that point, it was likely Jaire was going to be traded or released. At that point of the year, of the offseason, to me, it's the Packers didn't prioritize that position in free agency, aside from Nate Hobbs, who is a guy that can play the hybrid.
I'd argue they did make it a priority, seeing as how they signed two guys, and that was one of the positions they attacked.
Right. So they took care of it then. And I think the Packers at that point determined our cornerback room is good enough. We've got the guys we want.
What's interesting to me, And maybe because they signed Hobbs, it wasn't really approached. Or maybe I wasn't really paying attention enough during Brian Gutekunst's press conferences leading up to the draft. Because everybody was going, man, wide receiver, defensive line, these are the areas the Packers really could use some help. And what did we hear Brian Gutekunst? Oh, we're comfortable with those guys. We're comfortable with those guys in both those rooms. And I understand there is an element of Brian Gutekunst selling the bluff there.
Yes.
Because in case Matthew Golden isn't there.
CYA.
You know, he has to, you know, still, like you said, cover his ass. So I don't recall him saying that about the cornerback room, but I also don't know if he was asked about it.
I think a lot of the attention and oxygen went to the Jair situation.
Yeah.
Because he made it so clear that they were seeking to trade him. He flat out said that. So I don't know if a lot of time got spent on, well, what comes after Jair or what comes after that decision. So the Packers went through a draft, and was it the sixth or seventh round is when they ended up drafting another corner. They've been telling us all offseason, once they got Nate Hobbs, we're comfortable with what we got here. And I think it's a little more dynamic than people might think, because Xavier McKinney, Evan Williams, and Javon Bullard can all play cornerback positions in spots, and they have throughout their career. So
they'll drop down into the slot and they'll go into a bigger nickel using their safeties.
Right. It's not like they just basically now have three guys there. They have three safeties they think are good enough, and from what they're kind of signaling to us, they feel pretty good about some of those young guys they have in the program that were practice squad guys.
Carrington Valentine, obviously, this is somebody that they believe in. Kalen King is a guy that I feel off-season is a name that I continuously see pop up, another seventh-round pick who had potential to be a higher-round pick, ended up sliding in the draft, and has been around for a year because of the practice squad.
Yeah, so they feel comfortable, because you don't release a guy like Jair unless you feel comfortable at that position. Now, are they good enough is a whole different debate.
I think they are.
I think they are adequate.
Yes. Yeah. Which to me is saying, are they good? Is it one of the premier positions on the roster? It is not. But I know Jeff Hafley played a lot more man-to-man at Boston College.
Yep.
But that could have just been a product of the roster that he had, a product
style
of the college
of the game.
Yep. Being different than the pro game. So, you know, I know when he initially came in, everybody thought, oh, we're going to play more man-to-man, and which would have been great for Jair Alexander, somebody who was begging to play more man-to-man under the previous defensive scheme. But they played a ton of zone last year, and that's a byproduct of a couple different things.
Yes.
But it also could be a byproduct of Jeff Hafley realizing this is the way we have to play in the NFL, where we can do more read and react. This is how we're going to be able to, you know, cause these turnovers and do things like that. So do I think that they can go man-to-man? That they're going to go, hey, Keyshawn, you're cornerback one. We're playing a ton of man this year.
Good luck with Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, you're going to travel with Justin Jefferson. You're traveling with Amon-Ra St. Brown. You're traveling
with DJ Moore. Right.
No, I don't think that's what's going to happen. But I would say that when I watched the Packers in the second half of last year, I don't recall being overly frustrated. You're going to be frustrated from time to time with cornerbacks. It's just the nature of the game.
Missed assignments, stuff like that.
But I don't recall being overly frustrated by that down the stretch when Jair was not available to the team. So that was with the guys they had last year, adding Nate Hobbs, who is somebody that it was thought of highly by the Raiders and by people who covered the Raiders. Q Myers, who you can hear here on 94.5 ESPN with Joe and Q from noon to 2. Like, he covers the Raiders. He does a Raiders podcast, and he was kind of sad to see Nate Hobbs go when I had an opportunity to talk with him about that. So I think it's a situation where it stings. The room is certainly worse.
Mm-hmm.
If there's an injury or two, things get sketchy, but you can't have four or five guys in every position that you feel comfortable with. That's just not the nature of the NFL. So I think the cornerback room, while it certainly can be improved, I don't think it's going to be the weakness of the defense.
Yeah, I'm going to put my trust in the guys doing the evaluations of the guys on the team and the guy they acquired via free agency. Would I like more star power? Would I like a prime Jair Alexander or a Patrick Surtain out there to kind of bolster that? Yes, I would love that. But that's not always the case you find yourself in. And what you're they built depth. If you remember, there was a Packers cornerback who primarily played the slot, kind of like Nate Hobbs. His name was Casey Hayward. Mm-hmm. And then he went on to be an All-Pro once he moved around, played in the slot, played outside, played all sorts of positions. And the Packers are making a bet. I believe they want Nate Hobbs to be a multi-purpose tool, much like they view Xavier McKinney, Evan Williams, Javon Bullard. They want him to figure in. They're going to use him on both sides. I do think it was interesting that Matt LaFleur kind of lended credence to, we came into the season believing we're going to play one style of defense, which was more of a man-to-man style. And then as the season went on, we ended up playing more of the zone coverage. Now, that's multifaceted. That's not just simply, well, Jair's not here, we have to change what we're doing. That's, we're not getting enough pressure with four up front, and we have to bring these simulated pressures. We have to bring more blitzes than we probably intended to. So we're going to adjust. And the one thing I believe in Jeff Hafley to do, a guy who's already getting head coaching interviews, is he's going to adjust to the players he has. He's going to put that team in the best situation. That's one thing I believe fully. He's going to evaluate his talent, see how it goes in training camp, and he's going to put the best product on the field that best sort of addresses all their skills. So you might not have the guy who's going to come in and lock down Justin Jefferson. I don't believe Keyshawn Nixon is that guy, nor do I believe Carrington Valentine's going to be that guy. But what they're going to do is put the best product on the field. And if you have even a slight increase in getting after the quarterback with four, with those guys up front, you see massive improvement.
I'm not holding my breath.
I'm not holding my breath. And I don't think Jeff Hafley is either. But if they go from where they were last year to even league average, That's a massive improvement. Yes,
in terms of like pass rush win rate, because if you look at like the pure sack numbers, those get misleading,
right?
Because they had, well, we just heard the Tennessee game. I believe they had seven sacks in that game.
Well, and they had Edgerrin Cooper, who was seemingly a heat-seeking missile out there for them, which I think they want to use him like that, but they prefer to not have to do that
when you're playing a 4-3,
and
your best pass rusher is a linebacker.
Yes.
That's not a long-term recipe for success.
It's a great tool to have in your belt.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Great to have a pass rusher, a guy who can do those things.
Mm-hmm.
But when he's your best pass rusher,
big problems.
Yeah, that can lead to some issues. There's some more questions I want to get to here on the Carblues Talk and Text Line. Joshy and I going to answer those. Plus, Rob Domofsky broke this news as well this morning that Jair Alexander going to be released by the Green Bay Packers. He is going to be joining us in the 8 o'clock hour. So Rob Domofsky from ESPN.com going to be joining us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. More of your questions as Jair Alexander being released today by the Green Bay Packers. It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy coming up on 94.5 ESPN. Breaking green and gold news on ESPN Milwaukee. The Packers and Jair Alexander are no more. React to the news of the day right here on 94.5 ESPN. ESPN Milwaukee's YouTube channel and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Prescott fires for Cooks, and it's intercepted. Jair Alexander, he's got it. Up on his feet, racing to the end zone.
It's all over social media. It's all over everywhere. Jair Alexander going to be released today. Now, one of the things I am going to be curious is Rob Domofsky is going to join us at 8:15, so about 40 minutes from now. Because just because you're released after June 1st doesn't mean you have to split the money up. So you can, and just to kind of give you a quick explanation of the NFL salary cap. Like, we've heard this before, even with Aaron Rodgers, you know, post-June 1, you know, pre-June 1, the Packers would eat more money on the salary cap this year, which they have. Or, if you do this post-June 1, which obviously this would be, you can decide to split up and take some of the cap hit this year and some of the cap hit next year. So that would open up money. Now, whether or not they want to do that, I think can also give us an inclination of what the, you know, maybe some things they want to do. Like, one of my initial thoughts before I found out that Zach Tom had to compete for his spot was, oh, if they designate him a post-June 1 release, maybe they take some of that money, they front-load the contract for Zach Tom a little bit, give him some more money up front, absorb that salary cap hit this year, and then they can structure that contract however they want. I don't know if Zach Tom's getting a contract extension at this point anymore, or maybe if you are, you know, I don't want to say delusional, but will. Text in, not part-time Will, who's behind the glass today. Packers are totally going to use the extra money and get better and trade for Hendrickson, right? Again, if you,
I don't want to call.
I don't want to call Will delusional.
Hopeful.
Because I also, yes, hopeful. Is there a word between hopeful and delusional? Because again, it's sometimes hard to suss out what the context is on the talk and text line. By using the word totally in there, I'm sensing sarcasm coming from Will. So we understand the joke.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine somebody's actually thinking, oh, well, maybe they'll make a big splash now.
I would be thrilled, beyond myself excited about Trey Hendrickson coming to town. But what I think this is the one you mentioned, Zach Tom, because I found it interesting that Matt LaFleur decided to basically go out and say, this guy's going to be getting a new contract and we're happy he's here despite all of that. And then Elgton Jenkins, who still hasn't reported yet, mm-hmm. because he wants some security for moving to guard to center where you're paid less. He wants some security and some locked in money, saying, yes, I'll be a good teammate, but guarantee me some damn money here because I am doing what's in the team's best interest, so let's make it pay off for
me. More importantly for him, guaranteed money next year.
Yes.
Because obviously, they're not doing anything with him this year.
Correct.
They're planning on him being center.
Yes.
But when he reaches the last year of his contract, which is money for a guard potentially tackle, because when he signed that, they thought he could potentially kick out to tackle from guard. Instead, they're slotting him in. It's a pretty big number for Elgton Jenkins next year, and they could save a lot of money because there's no guaranteed money left. So I think that's what Elgton is looking for. 800-990-3776. It's the Carbless Talk and Text Line. This coming from Ryan in Maguanago. Don't teams need a shutdown guy to succeed? It helps, but I don't think that's necessarily true.
No.
And while I know we all love to pine over, oh, man, Cooper DeJean would have been really nice to have on this team. Like, Cooper was good last year, and he had the moment of the Super Bowl. He had to pick six in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
That was his only interception of the year.
Yep.
Cooper DeJean was a nice player last year. It's not like he was locked down. Same thing with Kawinion Mitchell. You know, the two rookies that they had. The Eagles had good cornerbacks. They didn't have necessarily somebody that you were going, hey, travel around with the top guy. They didn't have that. Same. I mean, the Chiefs do. The Chiefs have McDuffie. But you take a look at the other teams that were in there, the Bills don't have just an absolute lockdown, shutdown guy. Same thing with Washington. You don't. It helps. It's nice. It's not a prerequisite to winning a Super Bowl.
Let's be direct with one another. I would love to have a top 10 wide receiver.
Yeah.
I'd love to have a top 10 edge rusher.
Yes.
I'd love to have a top 10 left tackle.
Yep.
I'd love to have a, you know, name the position. Yes. I would like to have better players at all the positions. There's probably, two positions where you go, we have one of the best in the league, and that's at running back and at free safety.
Yeah, that's it.
Aside from that, there's plenty of potential to get better across the board. I'd love to have a Dexter Lawrence up the middle instead of Kenny Clark, but that's just not the reality. you have to do with what you got there. And I think the cornerback position is plenty adequate.
Yeah.
That's not exciting.
And I know the game has changed a little bit, but yes, when the Packers won the Super Bowl in 2010, obviously had a shutdown corner. They had Charles Woodson, who the previous year was Defensive Player of the Year. As good as the Packers' defense was in 1996, the only other time in my lifetime they've won a Super Bowl, like Doug Evans and Craig Newsom were nice players, but they weren't locked down, shut them down by any stretch of the imagination. They played really good team defense, and it's hard to compare because they had two future Hall of Famers.
Yep.
But outside those two future Hall of Famers and Reggie, who's the greatest of all time at that position, and Leroy, like they just had a bunch of dudes who knew what their role was and played it very, very well. Again, they're missing that stud pass rusher, which makes everything else make more sense. But they've got a really good free safety in Xavier McKinney. And if they can have some growth at different positions, again, because they're still a really young team, the growth still exists, the defense can be as good and can be as good as you need it to be to reach a Super Bowl. It still needs growth, though, from other players. But I'm not expecting them to make a big move at cornerback. Like Luke had asked, what about a Rasul Douglas reunion? I would say there's a reason that Rasul Douglas is still out there. And he is on. There's a reason that he was traded. I mean, one was, they got a draft pick that Goody just couldn't say no to and didn't think that team was actually going to compete for a playoff spot, which they ultimately did. But also, you got something for a player that if you did go on a magical run, you're going, okay, this team's not going to compete for a Super Bowl this year. And whenever we do compete, it's more likely that the third rounder we take is going to be a part of our core than Rasul Douglas, because unfortunately, Rasul has gone up over that dreaded age of 30, which seems to be a no-go zone for Brian Gutekunst.
I'm telling myself the same story I think the Packers are, is that Carrington Valentine in his third year, I mean, he's basically been a starter since becoming a rookie because of the Jair Alexander experiment. I think they're telling the story. He's going to continue to improve and get better. I thought he was better than a lot of people gave him credit for last year, and I think the same stands for Keyshawn Nixon. He's not Jair, but I think he was a lot better than people gave him credit for, and then they added Nate Hobbs. So to me, they've written a story of a little elevation from some of the guys we got here and reinforcements. We don't know anything about who from the practice squad beat Kalen King, or the other guy, I forget his name, I'll have to look it up here. But they've got a few guys on the practice squad that I think they have intention of being on the active roster, because right now you can...
they need to, because they need bodies.
They've got three guys that you can say are going to confirmed in that cornerback room be there. And then also, an improvement from either or both of Javon Bullard and Evan Williams completely changes that entire defensive backfield. You add in the fact that Edger and Cooper is probably going to continue to develop and hopefully get better. Now you're adding weapons and, you know, all the rising tides lift all boats type deal. If you improve, even a couple of those guys become more consistent and raise their level of play, you're not as worried about, well, what happens after this.
I think this is fair from Ryan on the Carblues Talking text line. I think you need a shutdown guy if you don't have a good pass rush, which Green Bay doesn't have a go-to consistent pass rush. They got by with their scheme last year, but I'm a bit worried about it now moving forward. I think that's fair.
Yeah?
I think that's fair.
Well, we're the last two people who are going to say anything really positive about the pass rush.
No. Just can't.
And it is extremely important, because the longer a quarterback has time to pick up, like, wide receivers are eventually always going to get open.
Yes.
You give them...
No matter how good your cornerbacks
right.
are. Right, unless you have Dion, that
right.
like somebody's going to get open.
Yes, and that's a simple matter of the fact. And you realize that when Jeff Hafley continued to get more and more creative as the season went on with the either blitzing or simulating pressures were just sort of confusing.
Well,
that,
but he would only bring four.
Right.
But he'd be dropping somebody who would be in
correct.
A traditional pass rush spot.
Right.
He'd drop them off the line and that would confuse them.
You're just
the
hoping the offensive linemen miss their assignment. They get confused with what they're looking at in front of them. But they wouldn't be doing that if they thought, well, these guys are good enough
mm-hmm.
or this pass rush is good enough. They're doing that because they're saying, we got to figure out a way to sort of speed things up for the quarterback, because if they have all day, eventually we're going to lose this battle. Eventually somebody's going to get open. I think the Packers realize that, and I think the Packers are hoping and praying that Rashawn Gary improves or sort of even returns to form in some way.
What do you mean returns to form? Returns to
nine and a half sacks? Yeah.
Cool.
And then you get Lucas Van Ness up to nine, and then you're like, okay.
All right, I thought we were having a serious conversation, Josh. I thought we were having a good conversation. I thought we were talking about realistic expectations for the Packers.
Okay,
and
Baron
you throw out, oh, maybe Lucas Van Ness triples his production. Oh,
big
yeah,
year
just go, just make a huge leap. The broken thumb, yeah, I'm sure that's really what held them back, being blocked by a tight end one-on-one last
year. You have
year.
To tell yourself stories. I think the Packers are in the storytelling phase.
Are you using the word story as a synonym for lie?
I'm saying maybe it's a fiction.
So now using a second synonym for the word lie.
Hope casting, dreaming, however you want to phrase it. I think lie is a bit harsh.
Lucas Van Ness, 9 sacks.
What about Baron Sorrell? I don't want to say Kingsley Anagbari because I think he has even less of a chance of... Hey, all I'm asking is league average. That's all I want out of the pass rush. And I think league average would make the defense even better.
Well, yeah. Yeah, if you get, again, going off the pass rush.
I don't think it's that crazy for me to tell the story, fiction or not, that the Packers can improve to league average in pass rushing.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can do that. But again, like Lucas Van Ness, like had 3 sacks last
year. Sure did.
Man.
He got one on block blocked multiple times by tight ends. That's how much offenses didn't respect him. That tells a story. I realize what I'm saying here.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that you didn't mean to say a different name.
No.
Okay.
Well, who else could it be?
That's the problem, man. Because again, while I like Barrett, like Baron Sorrell seems like a good story. I have no idea if he's a good football
99 will
player.
Shine, his dad will say in the YouTube comments every single day.
But the problem with a fourth round pick is I'm not expecting you to contribute in 2025.
No.
The best pass rushing fourth round pick that the Packers have ever had is Aaron Kampman, who is tremendous, fantastic. Took him 3 or 4 years before
sure
he went,
did.
Oh, here's how I'd become an effective pass rusher in the NFL. And again, that can happen with Barron. I'm just not going to put 9 sack pressure on him in year one. You're not either. You decided to foolishly do it with Lucas Van Ness. I can't wait to play that audio for Chewy tomorrow. So make sure, Will, you send, cut that up, send it to me. So we have, I guess, I have to rely on Joshy to play that sound tomorrow. And I don't know if he's willing to do that when he's back behind
break.
The glass. Yeah, just, oh, computer's not working today. It's just
lost it
up.
In the mix.
Yeah.
file corrupted. It just didn't save.
Not
right.
working. I can't believe it. This happened again.
9 sacks for Lucas Van Ness.
What about Carl Brooks? He could get 5. That'd be nice. Bretton Cox Jr. Remember when we talked about Bretton Cox Jr. and I said I think he's going to lead the rest of the way? You know who he led the rest of the way? Bretton Cox Jr. in terms of sacks.
Yeah, what did he have?
Like 3. I correctly diagnosed the competition level was going to be low.
You were right.
Yes.
But not a situation where you only wanted to be right.
No.
Unfortunately.
I was just reading the tea leaves.
Guys, I'm telling you, if you want to make plans to propose to that special someone in your life, the Jewelry Center, the only place to go for the ring. Best place to shop for diamond engagement rings in Milwaukee for a reason. It's what I did. And that anniversary is coming up when I got my wedding band and, obviously had the ring before for my wife. But I kind of had an idea, looked online, picked one out that I really liked. But maybe you don't have an idea of what that ring should look like. Go to our Pinterest page. Bring those ideas into the Jewelry Center, the helpful team. To me, what makes the Jewelry Center, that helpful team, always going to point you in the right direction. Whether you're looking for a lab-grown diamond, a naturally mined diamond, the Jewelry Center has it. Check out their inventory. Any one of their 3 locations, Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington. Shop online, shoptjc.com. And when you go to the Jewelry Center, first of all, tell Dean the Dancing Machine we say hi. And second of all, tell them that Gabe and Chewy sent you.
Breaking green and gold news on ESPN Milwaukee. The Packers and Jair Alexander are no more. React to the news of the day right here on 94.5 ESPN. ESPN Milwaukee's YouTube channel and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Texas. I'm just here to tell you Packers back.
No more Jair Alexander being released by the Green Bay Packers today. Adding a little more to this, Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel just about 20 minutes ago tweeting out, Packers had a trade in place with another team earlier in the year, but the other team wouldn't pay Alexander's full $17 million salary. Alexander didn't want to take less, and due to that, the trade never happened. The die was cast early in the offseason. And I think that's what this comes down to. I think we had kind of heard, some similar rumors to that before Silverstein just put that out there on social media. But yeah, it seemed like Jair was going to say, unless somebody releases me, you're going to have to pay me the full $17 million. Ultimately, the Packers didn't want to do that. Ultimately, he didn't want to take whatever contract offer that they gave him per Matt Schneidman a couple of weeks ago. And that's the biggest reason he is no longer a Green Bay Packer. Mike in Hattiesburg says, I think we have to have perspective also. Jair was off the field more than on the field. Main concern for me now is depth. But again, Joshy, I think they have 3 guys that they trust. Right now they've got 3 guys they trust because they signed Hobbs, they gave him money. They gave Jair a nice contract and Carrington Valentine. I don't know how many teams have 4 corners that they're going, yeah, all these guys are starting caliber. I mean, there just aren't that many across the league where you're like, oh yeah, one of our guys goes down, we'll be fine.
Right, and we probably haven't mentioned enough. The reason Jair's not here is simply because he wasn't on the field enough.
Yeah.
And that is the largest looming factor regarding anything happening today with Jair being released with the guys they've brought in to replace him. I mean, last year, I don't think it's even fair to count the Packers as having Jair on the team. Really, the past two seasons. Because Jair wasn't there for the biggest moments for the Packers in many time at many points of the season.
He was healthy for the playoff push 2 years ago.
Yes.
So he was back on the field for that.
Right.
Because he had a pretty big moment in that Cowboy game.
When you have to start handpicking portions of seasons.
I'm just saying his interception against the Cowboys was sweet. That's all I'm saying.
It was sweet. I also think the Packers win that game regardless of the interception, but that's neither here nor there. what I'm saying is, and this might come as a surprise to people, but the Green Bay Packers cornerback room, even after releasing Jair, is better than it was last year. Because you had one guy who wasn't really contributing at all in Jair Alexander, and you upgraded Eric Stokes to Nate Hobbs. So to me, they are better than they were last year. You just don't have the hope. And the dream of, well, if Jair gets it figured out, if he plays, if he doesn't decide he wants to be a captain in his hometown and get suspended for it, this is a really good cornerback room. But last year, he wasn't available. And that's why he's not a member of the Green Bay Packers. And that's also why the team who was seeking to trade him was unwilling to pay him $17 million. He simply was too unreliable at this point in his career.
Jair Alexander, the first pick of the Brian Gutekunst era. Was he the best pick of the Brian Gutekunst era? We answer that question coming up 2 minutes. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.